football season, or at least the NFL season is. I say that out of respect for Angel, because I know there's still more football coming up, but the NFL season is over, and the Kansas City Chiefs, whether there was a debate last week or not, it's official. The Chiefs, oh, Angel. It was fun on Friday because it was a pick. Now it's just, like, this is the enemy. They are the official enemy. And I don't know that we have the right guy at the job to take down the enemy, or the right guy for the job to do that. I mean, we'll get into Sean Payton stuff and all that, Angel, and Russ. But you mean to tell me the idea of Stidham and Russ and Sean Payton saying, well, we haven't even looked at college quarterbacks until Monday, which I don't buy. What are we doing here? You got a dynasty. This thing's not going anywhere. Patrick Mahomes is not going anywhere. And Andy Reid, sorry, Tanner. Andy Reid's not going anywhere. Travis Kelce's not going anywhere, even though he got all pushy. I got a little heated this morning, Angel. Tanner does that. Does he ever get under your skin a little bit? Yeah? He got under my skin.
Yeah, you got a little hot this morning.
Here's my thing. The people that are saying, and these are people that I don't typically see have a lot of sports takes throughout the year, but suddenly in the Super Bowl, everybody's a critic. And it's like, I'd bench him. He'd be done playing. Travis Kelce on the whole push to Andy Reid. And I'll get into it. I got to get into a lot of this stuff, but the push suddenly is now a bigger thing. I'm sorry, no. You're not, you know? He didn't strike him. He ran up to him and pushed him. And Andy Reid loses his balance, gathers himself, and what was not on the camera, if you read reports and do research after the fact, Reid goes over to talk to Kelce. Kelce gets up, hugs him, and says, I love you, man. And then Reid and him have a serious conversation, and then it's right back to work. You're not benching the greatest tight end, or even if you want to say he's on your Mount Rushmore, you're not benching a top four tight end. Being a GOAT has its perks. So when A.J. Brown comes out and says that I'd be benched for that, you know, whatever, I'd be out the league, all that stuff. And I think there was even more meaning to that tweet as the Twitter thread continued to go. But if Mahomes did that, are you benching Mahomes? Are the Chiefs really going to bench Patrick Mahomes? No. You're talking about greatness, dynasty. Phil Jackson saw Michael Jordan punch a teammate in practice. He didn't bench him. He punched a teammate in practice. He didn't go to Jordan and say, yeah, you're not going to start the first, you know, you're not going to start on Tuesday night against the Clippers because I'm trying to make a point. No, because the point you're going to make is going to make your GOAT even more upset. And then your teammates are going to be like, are we trying to win here or not? Because that's what these guys care about. That is all these guys care about, is winning. And they had a chance yesterday, and they took it, to be in NFL history, to now be in sports history. You don't mess around with that, bro. You just don't. Now, if Kelce runs, am I condoning it? Hell no. It made me think less of Travis Kelce yesterday. I think he's a hothead. He's a bully. He was upset that he wasn't in the game for that play that Pacheco fumbled on, and he was letting Andy Reid have it. He was yelling at him because of it, saying, you cannot take me out. They have a chance to do something great here. And they had a chance. That win now sets them up to three-peat, which nobody's ever done that. Well, you can't get to a three-peat if you don't two-peat. Just a simple math, Angel. But you're not benching him. You're not benching him for a series. You didn't come this far to let a push that, I agree, out of line, to change the course or the direction of history for you. It sucked that he did it. If you would have pushed him down to the ground and he fell, yeah, who knows? Maybe it's even more extreme, but you're trying to win a Super Bowl. That's all that matters in that instance. You don't go sit down and have an office meeting with Travis Kelce. There's no time. You don't go do it at halftime either, because you're doing other things. And Reed's not really that big of a halftime speech kind of guy. But I'm sure they had their conversations throughout the game or during the game. But you're trying to win Super Bowl 58. You're trying to win your third Super Bowl. with this group, and then set yourself up to do something that nobody's ever done next year, and that's three-peat. So I'm not moving it aside, and I'm not trying to defend Travis Kelce's actions, but I'm sorry. What is this game all about?
Well, Brady is such a bad example. He's a bad role model.
Go ask Charles Barkley what he thinks about role models, bro. It's not what this is about. This is about winning. Getting to the Super Bowl and winning. And aside from flat out giving Andy Reid a concussion and injuring him, you put up with it for the moment. Can he set it straight? Can he gain some respect? Can he do all that? Sure. Regain respect. Nobody's disrespecting Andy Reid. Like in that locker room, ooh, Kelce went up and pushed him. I'm not so sure about Andy Reid now. My respect for him went down. No, that guy just proved that I'm going to win at all costs. I'm going to swallow my pride. I'm upset. These are fired up individuals that are, this is a different world here. This isn't Dalton Reisner and the backup quarterback last year on Nathaniel Hackett's offense arguing behind his back about how many, what the hell ever they're about helping a quarterback up. That's not that argument. This is about greatness here. We have a chance to be the Bulls, the Warriors, the Spurs, the Patriots. We have a chance to do that stuff. Are we really going to look back in time and go, Reed got really mad that Kelce pushed him, so he benched him. That made Mahomes mad. Mahomes was stressed out the rest of the game, and then the offensive line was starting. He was short with the O-line, and then Pacheco was freaked out, and then it was just a domino effect. No, in that case, in that situation, you are doing your best to try to keep the threads together, and saying you're done, that's not the time to do it. Week 7? Okay. You want to do it in a regular season game to make an example? I don't know how that's going to go for you, but you're not making an example in the Super Bowl unless it's got to be more extreme than a push. It wasn't a strike. He did not raise his hand to go hit him. He ran up to him, and he's a big kind of oaf, Kelce is, and he ran up to him, and he just kind of, rah, 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 you know? And then Reed wasn't ready. He even admitted he wasn't ready. Kumbaya, they're all good. They won a Super Bowl. Thoughts, Angel?
Yeah, I agree. Witnessing it was kind of like, whoa,
yeah.
He's upset. He's angry. It's the Super Bowl. You would expect emotions are probably pretty high. These are professional athletes. This is the pinnacle of what you work for. I probably wouldn't have benched him. Maybe you sit him down for a play and just talk to him on the sideline like, hey, I'll get you in on this next one. We got it. It's the first quarter. It's all right. I think if this is something that you see in a high school game or a college game, then yes, you probably have to discipline that player better because at that point you are still teaching. You're not really teaching much.
Not at this level.
It's, yeah. We're coaching you. I'm a coach. That's my title. But it's more of, hey, here's the plan. Go execute it.
Yeah, you don't hear a lot of NFL coaches do the whole line that college coaches say about, hey, we want him to be a good football player, but more importantly, a good person. No, 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 no. If you're a good person and you suck at football, I get fired, so I could care less about your good deeds, bro.
Yeah,
that's it.
You see a high school kid do that, it's like, oh, that kid's probably not going to play again. He's probably off the team.
Yeah, and
a college kid do it, oh, he's
do the same
thing.
I don't care if it's the championship in high school if a kid did that. Yeah, that's different. You're right. That's a good point. You're teaching at these levels. The NFL, these are all pros that are making more than you as a coach.
You see kids say, oh, Travis Kelce pushed his coach. I'm going to do that. Well, listen, 15-year-old Tommy, you're not Travis Kelce.
Yeah.
You're not in the Super Bowl. You're in two-way football, and it's week 3.
Being a GOAT has its perks. Sorry, Michael Jordan can punch a teammate and not get benched and not get in trouble for it. That can happen. We've seen these guys, It's why I don't like the whole tweets of some players getting on Twitter saying, if I would have done that, I'd have been benched. All right, let me see who's talking first. Ray Lewis does that? Nope, he ain't getting benched. Tom Brady does that? Nope, he ain't getting benched. Shannon Sharp did that back in the day to Shanahan? Nope, ain't benching that dude. If you're a GOAT, if you're a top, sorry, but you do get certain perks. Life ain't fair. You know, if third string tight end is mad at Andy Reid and goes up and pushes him in the Super Bowl, if I can't use you, if the loss of you right now is not going to destroy my chances of winning, then get over there and grab some bench. But you're the best tight end that's ever done it. Without him in that second half lighting it up, the Chiefs don't win. So, and again, the idea of, well, bench him for a series. I can see, like, hey, I'm going to hold you in because I'm going to give you the next play, but you and I got to get this right. They got it right shortly after that because they were on defense because of the fumble. But if you bench Kelce for a series, is he now on the bench pouting? And you have a team leader pouting, upset, and now you've got the rest of the team like, dude, this vibe is off. Mahomes is mad because, dude, I get that he pushed you and that sucks, but you just took my number one weapon. You just took my best weapon. And in a year where we haven't really had the weapons, and you're going to do this now of all times? Zero chance that that happened. So I'm not as hung up on the push as a lot of people are. Don't like it. I'm not defending it. But you're not going to bench him in the Super Bowl. Week 7, go for it. Hopefully you can recover for your own sake. Big Hub says, I don't like the push. He should have chilled out. But it's a passionate game, and they were struggling at first, so I get him being upset. Yeah, I mean, I don't excuse it. I'm not excusing it. You know what, to me, is tough to excuse is Kyle Shanahan's play calling in the third quarter. You know, this Kyle Shanahan is now 0-3, 0-2 as a head coach, and 0-3 in the Super Bowl when he's running an offense that's ahead by 10. And Angel, you have the what did the Niners do that we preached for 2 weeks about? They must have not been listening, Angel, because what did we say that Baltimore should have done against Kansas City? Keep running the ball. But Brady, they were shutting it down. You ran it three times with like five times with running backs.
When we looked at all three playoff games for the Chiefs, the thing was the Bills kept running the ball and they had almost 200 rushing yards.
Yeah,
because they lost the game, but they stayed in that game. Dolphins didn't run the ball well enough. The Ravens didn't run it more like consistently enough. That's the key.
Why
you throw
are
around,
you?
You know, football's won in the trenches. It's won by your O line. You're not using them. You're throwing Brock Purdy into pressure three straight times and saying, Brock, save us. You need to be.
Yeah.
You don't have to put your
third
quarterback
string.
Into those situations.
A guy that was a third stringer a little over a year ago, we're asking to say, I mean, who's the best player on this team, on the offense for San Francisco?
McCaffrey.
It's McCaffrey.
Clearly.
And Debo was hurt off and on. Like, he kept running off. He was hurt. So it's Christian McCaffrey, who was having a really good game. You get the interception. You're up 10-3. The Chiefs have the ball. Third play in, they throw a pick. Patrick Mahomes throws a pick. You're San Francisco now. First and 10 at the Kansas City 44. It's early in the third. Brock Purdy, pass incomplete. Second and 10, Kansas City 44. Penalty, false start. Move it on back. Second and 15, shotgun. Brock Purdy, incomplete pass to Debo Samuel. Third and 15, now clearly out of field goal range at the Kansas City 49. Purdy is in the shotgun, scrambles left to the end for 4 yards. It was a pass play. Fourth and 11, you punt. Kansas City gets the ball, three and out for them. They're forced to punt. You're still up 10-3. We are now entering the midpoint in the third quarter. Brock Purdy gets the ball on his own 36. Pass short to Jennings for a negative 8 yards. Because the pressure was so bad on Purdy, he had to go out to the flats and the guy was way behind the line of scrimmage. And you attack. Second and 18, Brock Purdy. Pass short left to Christian McCaffrey for 7. Third and 11, incomplete pass by Brock Purdy. Then the Chiefs get the ball back. They go get the field goal. 49ers again. Okay, we haven't. Keep this in mind, folks. We have 5 minutes left in the third quarter. You have yet to run the ball with Christian McCaffrey. You've had two possessions. I get it. Penalties put you behind the eight ball on some of that, but that first series, yikes. First and 10, Christian McCaffrey up the middle, no gain. Brock Purdy, pass incomplete. Brock Purdy, pass incomplete. Punt. Christian McCaffrey has now ran the ball once. He has touched the ball twice. Kansas City gets the ball, punt again, but then the turnover. Chiefs score a touchdown. For San Francisco next, Brock Purdy, pass incomplete. We're getting late into the third. Uh-oh, we're going to run the ball. It's second and 10. They're going to run on second down, Angel. You're out of your mind. Christian McCaffrey up the middle for 5 yards. It's third and 5. Brock Purdy, quick pass, first down. Brock Purdy, pass left to Deebo Samuel. Second and 1. They run with the fullback up the gut. They get the first down. End of quarter 3. I mean, they end up getting a touchdown on this drive. But you could have put this team away. You kept messing around. You're playing with your food, but the problem is your food is the most expensive steak there is. That's the Kansas City Chiefs. You go up 10, neat. You have Christian McCaffrey. You have the best running back in the NFL. And he touches the ball 3 times in the third quarter. What are we doing here?
I don't get how these coaches outthink themselves so much.
Crazy.
It's simple to just say run the ball on first down. Well, the defense is ready for it. They're going to make adjustments at halftime. How do you know that? They may look like they made an adjustment, but you don't know that they did until you run it consistently. Running it one time, saying, oh, they stopped it there, we're going to just start throwing it. That puts so much pressure on your quarterback, and it creates these insane narratives of like, oh, the quarterback, he's not good enough. It's like you're putting him in a position to drop back 7 times.
They know it's coming. And again, what is the Chiefs' strength on defense?
Their secondary.
It's their secondary. So I'm going to take my chances with the running back that leads the league in yards after first hit, yards after that first contact. He is falling forward almost every single time. His legs are built like stumps. He keeps going forward. I picked the Chiefs to win. Naturally, I root for my picks. Doesn't make me the devil. I just root for my picks. But I'm telling you, San Francisco wins that game if Christian McCaffrey touches the football more.
Do they win if they don't get that field goal blocked?
And that changed. What I loved about that, the extra point, is it changed everything. The entire way that fourth quarter was played. Yep. Everything about that fourth quarter. This is why I always say, you can't do the, hell, well, if he would have scored that, then this. No, because it changes the trajectory of how you play football the rest of the way. So you get that blocked. That changes next how Kansas City plays. That's then going to change how San Francisco plays. And then it just changes so much. Do they win? I don't know. Because
but instead of the Chiefs having to, if they get that point, it's a 4-point game. Rather than the Chiefs going down and tying the game, they have to score a touchdown.
Yeah, it was because it was 4th and 5 or something, right? Mm-hmm. And then and that would have been a tough get in
Did
this
you
game.
Like that 4th and 5 call to go for it? Because
They ended up kicking the field goal in overtime.
Mm-hmm. Or no, it may have been the fourth quarter.
There were two instances there, right, where they settled for the field goal. In overtime, obviously, they're driving.
I think it was the fourth quarter one.
In the fourth quarter? Okay. Yeah, that's tough because, you know,
if you don't get it, then it's game pretty much, but you get the field goal.
You got to go for the field goal because, again, you miss it, you don't get that conversion. You have to stay in the game. So I'm all about keep the game going. Because if we go for it and don't get it, game over, right?
Yeah. But then you go for it, you get it, but then you get a field goal.
Yeah.
It's like, if you're going to go for it, you got to punch it in.
Yeah. The Niners had their opportunities. You know, when they were, in the fourth quarter, you're talking about that field goal they end up getting, puts them in that position. Oh, because it was tied, right? It was tied at that point. That's what it was. It was 16-16. And it was critical. I mean, right there, it's 3rd and 5, passing complete to Jennings, and then 4th and 5 on the Kansas City 35. I mean, I liked it because if you don't get it, the Chiefs have 20 yards to go to get the field goal. Instead, you put the pressure on them a little bit, even though it's Mahomes. What I didn't like was what everybody's saying they don't like, is Kyle Shanahan choosing to receive the ball in overtime with the new rules. Now, the new rules, everybody needs to be very clear on this because even the NFL Network panel didn't know what was going on. And I don't think the Niners knew what was going on. The new overtime rule states each team gets a possession unless it's a turnover. Each team gets a possession. So whoever wins the coin toss, if they decide to receive, great. You can go score a field goal. You can go score a touchdown. But the other team gets an opportunity. And there is no end to the that could go all the way into another overtime, if as long as they keep that string of possession. So the reason the Chiefs were not hurrying like crazy at the end with 16 seconds left when they got the game-winning touchdown was because they don't end the game. Tony Romo clarified that in the broadcast. They won't end the game. It'll just go to overtime two, second quarter of overtime. The ref said it at the beginning. It's a brand new game, essentially, which I think is really unique. Kyle Shanahan, and we'll get to this on the other side. What was his response? Why did he want the ball first? Because the most dangerous football team in the NFL sometimes can be a team that's desperate, that knows they have four downs. That's why the Eagles made the tush-push thing work so well. They typically knew they were going to go for it if they could get 9 yards in three plays. It changes things in such a big way. You talk about the missed extra point and how that changed everything. Well, knowing that you have to go for it on fourth down because you're going to watch what San Francisco goes and does, they're either going to get a touchdown, a field goal, all the pressure's on you, you have to score. There is a power to that that the Niners gave the Chiefs 27 minutes after the hour. It's the whole show powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
State wrestling action at Ball Arena with KFKA's updates throughout each tournament day. Presented by Bruce Sandow of Clearwater Sediment and Erosion.
What's up, Hooligans? This is Zach Stevens with DNVR Broncos, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Ultimately, it was a great game. I mean, when you can have so many interesting things to talk about. Yeah, the longest field goal in Super Bowl history, which is crazy to me. That
top
was
three longest.
Field it's top three. It's not the longest.
Oh, no.
Oh,
you had the
all
top
three of them.
Three.
Yeah, because the longest one was the 55-yarder, right? The very first one by Moody.
It was like 55, 53, and 52.
Crazy. Who would have guessed that, right? In the Super Bowl, you would have thought there might have been some high 50s and some 60s, and maybe a 60 in there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but it was 55. So you have that. You have the very first, the second overtime in Super Bowl history, but the very first overtime with the new playoff rules.
Yep.
We were 11 seconds away from having the first ever double overtime? Ever? Not just Super Bowl. Ever. We end games in ties, right? In the regular season.
Mm-hmm.
I do want to get to the overtime rules. So, just so you know, this is how it goes. Referee said it at the beginning. It is a new game, gentlemen. You each get a possession. So, it will go like this. Whoever gets the ball, in San Francisco's case, if they go down and score, a field goal, a touchdown, doesn't matter. They can go for two if they want to. Kansas City would get a chance to retaliate. Very similar to how we do it in college football. But they still got to go the length of the field. However, if San Francisco were to throw a pick six, game over.
Yep. Those
are the rules because essentially there would be two possessions. Your defense just became your offense in that case. So if San Francisco goes down and scores, Kansas City matches that score, now it is sudden death.
Yes.
San Francisco would get that ball. They could go down and kick it. That would be the game. Kansas City would not get a chance to retaliate. But this game could have very well, I mean, had nobody scored or you just matched field goals that first time, you could have had defensive stop after defensive stop after defensive stop. You could have essentially gone four quarters. So I just want to make that clear. They're scheduled in this new overtime in the playoffs is a halftime. It's not 30 minutes, so Usher's not going to come back out and sing. It's a short halftime. But it is actually made into the schedule. If you go to overtime in the playoffs, it's treated like quarters. So there is no time limit necessarily. That's why Kansas City wasn't sprinting to the finish line. They knew if they didn't get it, you know, they'd flip the field. Now, Mahomes responded to Maurice Jones-Drew on NFL Network in the post game, because Maurice is like, "I'm having a heart attack. I'm thinking, man, you're not going to have enough time. You're only going to get one more play." And Mahomes just kind of laughed it off, and he goes, "Yeah, well, we wanted to score on that end, you know, rather than switching fields," because they're like, "What are you talking about, man? Only Romo knew the rules." So, with those new rules, given what we know about those new rules, deciding to return the kick to get the opening possession actually doesn't seem like the best plan, the best course of action, because you put a lot of pressure on yourself. And then if you go down and score, Kansas City now knows exactly what they have to do. If you don't score and you punt, which they almost did, there was a penalty, then you just know you got to get in field goal range. When San Francisco got the field goal, you give Patrick Mahomes this crazy power now. You give him four downs every time. You give him four downs magically. You just gave that to him. Now, if Kansas City receives the ball, you don't give him four downs. They might not go for it on fourth and one on their own 30, because that's the game, right? Mm-hmm. But there's a power to that. That it's hard to explain to non-football people, but that is there is a power to that, and you gave the Chiefs that power.
So this all goes back to the 2021 AFC Championship game between Kansas City and Buffalo. You know, the infamous 13 seconds, Tyreek Hill takes it all the way, they get a field goal, and then they go into overtime. Kansas City gets the ball first, they take it down, they score, game is over.
Game is over.
Josh Allen doesn't get a shot to respond or anything. The very next year, Cincinnati versus Kansas City went to overtime. Kansas City gets the ball to start. They go down. They kick a field goal. They win the game. They go to the Super Bowl. The ruling came in March of 2022, 3 months after that, the Bengals-Chiefs game. So this is the first time we've had to use these rules in the playoffs.
It's the first time, but, you know, when I look at coaching for the Super Bowl, you're bringing up every scenario, everything that could happen. I go back to the John Fox thing with Super Bowl 48 against the Seahawks and the Broncos, between the Broncos and the Seahawks. We're not going to crank the music up and get used to it because Super Bowl crowds aren't loud. And what happened to the Broncos? Well, in this case, one coach, according to almost every player on the Chiefs roster, told you, they preached this to us every single week. What could happen? New rules, because we've been in overtime. New rules. Here's what's going to happen. Juszczyk, the fullback, said for San Francisco, said we received the ball first because we were kind of the thinking a touchdown would go win it. Well, you didn't get a touchdown, first off, but second, it wouldn't have won it. Wouldn't have won the game.
How do you not know?
I don't know, and that's coaching, right?
How many off-season meetings and training camps and spring trainings are you not being told this?
I would say that would be hammered in your brain. It's the playoffs. These are close games. San Francisco is favored by 1.5 points.
Like, sit in your locker room and say, "Hey, guys, regular season, we can play for ties."
Did Kyle know?
Playoffs? There are no ties. Someone has to win.
Did Kyle Shanahan know that a touchdown would not win the game? I'm just asking.
If he doesn't?
I'm just asking.
Is that like a fireable thing? Like you don't know the rules of the game?
He probably knows. I mean, Reed was asked about it, and Reed goes, "I don't know. He's a smart guy, so I'm sure there was a reason behind it." What's the reason? Here's the reason. Here's Kyle Shanahan when asked, "Why did you decide to receive the ball rather than defer or choose to just kick?" Kick. They should have chose to kick. Here's Kyle Shanahan on what went into the decision.
It's just something we talked about with, you know, that none of us have a ton of experience of it, but we went through all the analytics and talked with those guys, and we decided to be better. We wanted the ball third. If both teams matched and scored, we wanted to be the ones who had the chance to go win, and we got that field goal, so we knew we had to hold them at least to a field goal, and if we did, then we felt it was in our hands after that.
Boy, that's a lot of prediction stuff there. First off, analytics.
Yeah, I wince.
We don't have any analytics on this yet. It's never happened.
Right.
We've never had this game before. We've never had new overtime rules in the playoffs. So analytics for what? The studies show that in this, we don't have it. Second, you're playing a long, dangerous game of saying, well, we knew we'd score. We also knew they'd score. So we wanted to have that third possession. Well, the Chiefs already said that if San Francisco goes down, scores a touchdown, and gets the extra point, which isn't easy, they were going to go score. That was their plan, and they were going to go for two. They already said that in the locker room. Like, if this goes overtime, that's what we're doing. We're going for two. We are going to win or we're going to lose if San Francisco scores a touchdown.
So if Shanahan's whole thing was we wanted to be the ones who had a chance to go win, why would you receive the ball? Because either way, you have the absolute opportunity to go win it if you put your defense out first. And I get it. Your defense was just on the field for 5 minutes. They're probably exhausted.
So was Kansas City's, though, and I know they had a little time. Yeah.
Game's on the line. You got to go make a stop. You got to force them to a field goal.
Kansas City's defense was absolutely exhausted, and then they made that stop on third and five. So guys have different fire, too. The idea that you're basically saying we wanted the third possession means that you're saying you're going to score, but your defense isn't going to make a stop. So I just thought that was a weird way to look at it. You kicked the ball. Now all the pressure is on Kansas City, and your defense is playing with not as much pressure because they know, okay, if worse comes to worse and we don't make a stop, we have a chance. We still have a chance. So let's be aggressive. Let's make plays. Come on, defense. Let's not play so timid. Let's not worry about everything behind us. We can play in front of us. That changes when you the other way around. Now when Kansas City gets the ball and San Francisco gets the field goal, you're going, all right, Mahomes can do a lot. He can run. They can run. Pacheco's an aggressive running back. Kelsey's crazy. They can go over the middle. There's a lot of things they can do. And what do you do on fourth and one? Mahomes takes the ball up the middle. Then he runs it shortly after that and gets it inside the 10. So you play a lot differently. You gave a lot of power to Kansas City by choosing to receive that kick.
Is Shanahan, staying there?
Listen, he took his team to the Super Bowl twice in, 3 years? 4 years.
4 years.
He did it with Brock Purdy, which I do think he's not...
He did it with Jimmy G and Brock.
Yeah. So there's going to be a lot of that for him. But at some point, you got to go, I'm John Lynch, and I keep building this thing. Like, how do we know a lesser coach, using air quotes, couldn't have taken San Francisco and done more the same? Because that's a stacked team that got even more stacked with Christian McCaffrey. You didn't use your best player in the third quarter. That is tough.
That and, okay, we're going to overtime. It's a new game. What do you got? And you don't even know the rules?
I mean, I question whether Kyle knew the rules. I'm seriously, no. Is anybody
your
asking that question?
Don't know it.
Your players don't know it. Now, again, as long as your head coach and your quarterback know it, your defense needs to know it. San Francisco's fullback didn't know it. Hardman acted like he didn't know that they'd won after that. So, I mean, there's going to be people that don't know. But Mahomes knew. As soon as he threw that touchdown, he knew the game was over. You watch his reaction. And he was shocked that Mecole Hardman was like, oh, what? You know, I mean, that was insanity. But that's how this thing goes. How do you not know, especially in this situation, what you're doing to your football team?
Or if he does know, which he sounds like he may have known because he said we're going to get the third possession, and then you chose not to do it? You chose to take fate out of your own hands?
I think it was an awful, awful decision. And this is going to go down in history as another bad situation for Kyle Shanahan running an offense. This goes back to Atlanta when they stopped running the ball in the second half and the Patriots made their comeback. This goes back to 3 years ago when they were up 10 and they ended up losing again. And then, of course, this time around, you're up 10-3 and Kansas City throws an interception and you throw.
Both times with San Francisco in the Super Bowl, they had the top rushing attack in the league.
Yeah. I mean, I don't understand. Christian McCaffrey had 22 carries overall in this game, and he had 80 yards. Every time he touched it, he got about 4 yards. We got a break here. 44 minutes after the hour. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. a lot to get into on this game. Overtime rules, Kyle Shanahan, the decision-making. I got the good, the bad, the ugly coming up. The most depressing thing you'll ever see in the history of a Super Bowl, and I'm not talking about the halftime show or some of the crappy commercials, and I'm going to get to that next. First, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hi, I'm Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins, Colorado, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
I kept seeing the ad for, what's the Fireman TV show that's out? Did you see that? Did you see that ad? It was on that same network, so...
Tracker?
Nah, it was another one. It wasn't Tracker, but he's like, he's a fireman. And I've never seen it, and it's just like, this time it's different, it's personal, all this different thing. I'm like, what?
Fire Country?
Fire Country. What do you think? Is that just firemen putting out fires every episode?
There's probably some drama with relationships and...
I'm just thinking to myself, like, are people starting fires and you're after them all the time, or is it just battling fires?
It's a big undercover operation.
I just don't know.
Starting fires to cover up drug deals.
I want to get into some of the commercials with you later on. Do we have time to hit the good, the bad, the ugly real fast, like sprint level? We'll do it quickly. Good, the bad, the ugly, presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. For more, go to fmsbank.com/KFKA. The good, overall, it was the game. If I can take a game and I have like five or six really interesting talking points that we can put together for you on this show, then I think it was a good game. It went to overtime. It went almost the entire length of overtime. So, ultimately, it was a good game.
I was one of, like, two people I was watching it in this party that were, like, football people. And I was kind of sitting back just enjoying it. Got to, like, last fourth quarter. I'm sitting up, like,
yeah,
hands on my knees, like, oh, what's going on?
Yeah.
And they were like, Angel's into this game.
My wife was, she, of course, was all out on the Chiefs after Kelsey pushed Reed. She's like, ah, that's it. I really don't want. I'll get into that story later because it's funny. But at the end, she texts me. Because I'm still down watching postgame. She's like, I'm anxious as hell now. What's going on? How do you do this all the time? And I'm like, isn't it great? So much fun. And that wasn't even our teams, you know? This is pressure.
Just, you know, sugar.
Yeah. All right, so the bad. San Francisco doesn't know the rules. Players don't know the rules. I'm sorry, but that's awful.
Is that a cover-up for that's what the script said? We just got to go with it.
I knew you were going to go there today. I knew that. The ugly for me, I was going to put these pictures out on social media, Angel, and I'm just going to do it. I'm going to show you. Oh, how the mighty have fallen. Look at this. Look at that. You see that? It's John Elway handing the trophy over to Peyton Manning. He's looking at it there. That's John holding it again, you know, holding that Super Bowl up and... You know, it's just really cool moments, and he held it up as a player, too. There he is, surrounded by Chiefs players, walking the trophy through the line of Chiefs players as they touched the Super Bowl trophy and they kissed it. And Elway had the responsibility to escort the Lombardi trophy to the biggest rivalry the Broncos have. Oh, I'm watching this, and I'm like... This is not honorable. I mean, I get
that. What kind of humiliation ritual is that?
Who decided that Elway should be the... What was that? Why did they have Elway and...
Zonka?
Is that... Yes, yeah. Why did they have Elway do this?
I would John and say, Larry, this is all you.
I'm not walking through the Red Sea. I'm not parting this Red Sea of evilness. Get away. This is a tainted trophy.
Oh, and they're touching John, too. And I'm,
oh, leave him alone.
Saying, go Chiefs.
Listen, a lot of people gave me crap because I picked the Chiefs. And don't pick. No, I'm logical. I'm logical. I own that. But something lit a fire in me last night seeing that. I was just disgusted. I was so sad, dude. So absolutely sad. That's the ugly. The Duke is walking the trophy to the Chiefs. All right, let's take a break. There's a lot of content here. There's a lot of stuff from Super Bowl 58. So what's not to like? Well, there were a few things. We'll talk about that next.
Football season is over.
It's all over.
But college basketball is heating up. Hear UNC Bears hoops and Westwood One's coverage of college basketball on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Katie Wingy, your host, reporter, and analyst for the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
All right, it's going to be pretty heavy on the Super Bowl, of course. Football season's over. We pay it that respect. But it was an exciting weekend in hoops. UNC gets a really nice win there now, and still in second place in the Big Sky Conference. The Colorado State Rams are in second place in the Mountain West Conference. Utah State lost over the weekend. The Rams did what they needed to do against San Jose State. Well, Utah State won the last game, I suppose, but they lost two in a row before that, which makes it really a tight race. But the Rams are right there, and the coaches' poll has the Rams in the top 25 again, but the AP top 25 has the Rams just on the outside. We'll get into a little bit of that. Nuggets tonight against the Bucks. More Super Bowl 58 recap. It's The Whole Show, powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1, 1310 KFKA.